Welcome to another Partners for Progressive Israel podcast. My name is Adam Eisler, and I'm PPI's Director of Operations and Outreach. Earlier this month, a video of two police officers beating an Ethiopian soldier set off a wave of protests in Tel Aviv and Jerusalem. Decades of racial inequality, police violence, and discrimination came to the fore as thousands of young Ethiopians took to the street to demand fair treatment by the police and an end to racial discrimination. In response, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu pledged to curtail racism in Israel and incorporate more Ethiopian officers into the police force. In an effort to better understand the Ethiopian-Israeli experience over the generations, we spoke with Yuvi Tashom. Yuvi Tashom is one of the founders of Friends by Nature, a community empowerment organization helping Ethiopian-Israeli youth and families. She made Aliyah to Israel from Ethiopia with her extended family in 1984 as part of Operation Moses through the Sudan. She served in the IDF Education Corps and has worked with Ethiopian-Israeli youth in a variety of capacities for over 15 years. Let's jump right into the conversation. We in America face issues of police brutality very often, and it's never really solved. You know, the New York City police force, for instance, has many minorities, Baltimore as well. And, you know, when you look at all the mugshots of the people arrested for killing Freddie Gray in Baltimore, you don't just see the faces of the people, you know, the people in power. So is there any hope in Israel? I mean, is there the sense in the Ethiopian community that, okay, maybe we need to get involved in the police force? Is this an answer?
Not really. I think it's not like what happened in the United States. Okay, I don't think it's alike. And I'm not sure the black people in the United States are the minority. I mean, I don't know. I didn't check, but I think there is more and more black people in the United States. I think the situation here is different, a little bit. First of all, we are a small group here in Israel. Okay? I mean, smaller than the black people in the United States. And the thing is, it's not only the police. The police is like the end of the age, but it's started before that. And I think this generation that said, you know, not anymore, is generation that was born here in Israel. I mean, it's not like me that make the journey, or yeah, like me that said, you know, it's a matter of time. Maybe if I will, you know, if I was born in Israel, the thing will be different.
Right.
So I think this generation challenged Israel because that's the first time we putting the racism thing on the table. But I like what happening in the United States for a generation. I think it's going to be solved. I mean, I think I have my faith in the country that it will be solved faster than it's happening in the United States.
Right. So I definitely
maybe I'm naive.
I don't think so. I mean, I definitely agree that police brutality is only, like you said, the end of the process, because the police mm-hmm. are the enforcers of much bigger issues. You know, unemployment, I'm reading, unemployment is at 13% in the Ethiopian community, which is three times the national average. And Ethiopians in Israel earn a third less than Israelis. So these problems, it's not just problems with the police, but I also wanted to know, as victims of police brutality and of oppression in Israel, is there any solidarity with other victims of police brutality and of oppression?
Meaning the Arabs?
Exactly. Is there a feeling of, okay, we're all in this together?
Yeah. You know, it's a little bit different. I think, first of all, I think it's maybe the first time I'm hearing loudly the young people in the Ethiopian community speaking about being resident of Israel, citizens of Israel, and that we should be equal like everybody, and we see who is not equal. Something maybe that we didn't even notice until now, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I have my answers for that, why we didn't see that until now, but it's not the point. The thing is, when the problems are become very hard, we see it's not only us in this situation, and it's happening around us a long time. The thing is, I think there is a lot of people from the Ethiopian community saying, you know, we should be like, I don't know, we should fight for rights, not for just only for us. And I think that's make even bigger protest, you know, challenging Israel in a wider way of being racism.
Definitely. So are there any immediate demands?
You know, the thing is there is a lot of groups of people that grow, I mean, live here in Israel and came originally from Ethiopia. And the one who did the protest in Tel Aviv, saying that very specific, like what happened with police, and the kids that are in jail now because of the police and didn't have any fair trial should be go out from the jail. So this is the first, I think, and the media things that this group want, and I agree with them.
Wow.
If the process was, you know, illegal and not in proper rate, so we should fix that. But the thing is, you know, there is the first generation of my parents, the second generation, which is me, and the third generation is the people, I mean, the young people that was born here. And I think every generation see the problem and the solution in a different way. And I think the first time that the young generation said, you know, we don't want to face that with the old tools of the government, of the community, of everyone. We need to like to find out new tools for facing with that challenge of racism. And it's different than that my parents did and what I do. So I think it's challenging the whole community to think different, in a different way of facing the whole thing.
Definitely. I'm wondering, how does history factor into this feeling in the younger generation, the history of relations between Ethiopians and Israelis? Is this something that's really, that, you know, that's really been passed down, the experiences of, let's say, your parents when they first moved to Israel?
When my parents get here and they didn't get a fair chance to get a job, for example, so their answer to themselves was, you know, it's because I don't know Hebrew. Because I don't know the mentality, and because of that things.
Wow.
But if I was born here, and that's the thing that they said to the kids, you know, when you are born here, you have the fair chance to get whatever you want, because, you know, you're born in Israel, you know Hebrew, and you are Israeli, and the thing is, it's not happened.
That's incredible.
And our parents very disappointed because of that. And they're crying and they don't have anything that they can do because they feel that they give us everything that we need in order to be Israeli. I mean, learn Hebrew, forget Amharic. Forget Ethiopia, learn be Israeli. And so much putting being in Israeli and forgetting whatever you bring from home, from Ethiopia, and over the southern, it's not enough. So this generation, I grew up, because I was born in Ethiopia, I grew up with knowledge of, and it's not only knowledge, I was there. I knew how Ethiopia looked like. And I see my parents, I saw my parents when they decided to move to Israel. They were leaders. They were the one who make the decisions. So it's happened, and I see that. My parents were strong people. But this generation that was born here learned about the Ethiopian community, the Ethiopian Jewish community history from where? The parents are not talking about that.
Right.
So the only way to know everything about that is to see what they teach at school. And at school, they're talking about, you know, how great Israel to bring these black people, not as a slave, but as equal. So, and I think over the sudden, these kids that was born here, and the oldest are 30 years old, and the youngest, you know, they're born now. They realized that their narrative of who are they are, you know, are saying to them by somebody else. And they're going back home and they're asking the questions. And sometimes when they go back home, there is nobody to answer the questions. But it's a feeling of emptiness and a feeling that, you know, it's not fair. The government of Israel did well. I mean, thank you for, you know, putting the airplanes in Sudan, but our parents did the whole journey to Sudan and needs to do so many choices that, you know, very difficult choices. They were the leaders. They were the heroes in this story. So it's different, you know, grow up with that knowledge. That's me. Okay. Mm-hmm. I knew that.
Yeah.
And the one who born here and didn't speak the Amharic language grow up with another knowledge, and that knowledge is say thank you and shut up.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. And the state education has made no room for this narrative. So even in the Jewish history courses, where are the Ethiopians? Where's their story?
I think it's both. First of all, we didn't ask the parents, and the parents probably said, you know, you should forget about that. You know, in Sudan, and the journey was bad. We don't want you that feeling to impact on you. You know, your three sisters are dying the journey, or, you know, your father, there's bad things happened during that journey. And I think most of the parents want to protect their kids. And it's not a new thing, okay? The second generation of Holocaust was like that, okay?
Yeah.
They don't want the new generation to be, you know, be fair, afraid of. So they shut up. And when they shut up, somebody else talk. And the one who talk take, I think, large or big piece of the cake that he didn't should do that. And, you know, and talk a little bit about, you know, we met the people in Sudan, but something moved them from Ethiopia to Sudan. And I think that this generation now we are talking about are now just, you know, want to be proud, want to be part of what happening here. And Zionism, it's something in our blood. And we did a lot of things to come here. And I think over the sudden, maybe because my generation speak differently about our parents, because we know, they understand that they were shut up for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, but not only the story of coming to Israel, but even, you know, the the main story of the Jewish people that's told. I can't remember ever hearing even about the actual history of the Jewish community in Ethiopia. The story, their story.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
Is
when
this,
you look for it in YouTube or, yeah.
Yeah, it's just not, it's just invisible. No. It's just completely
Adam?
Invisible.
Oh, okay.
So, this is sort of the work that Friends by Nature does a little bit, isn't it?
I didn't hear what you said. Say it again.
Isn't this the work that Friends by Nature is doing? Education?
Yeah, education and taking responsibility. Because we need to be the people who talk about that. We don't need to wait for permission to do so. So it's taking action and not waiting for somebody to ask us.
Right.
and raising the second generation is our responsibility. So we want to be leaders and we want to be part of what's happening in Israel. And I think, as every other community, maybe more, we did a lot of things to earn to be Israeli citizens and to come here. So the idea is, we're saying we are here, we walk to here, we die to come here, and now we are not going up our dream. And if Israel is not look like what I want, I'm going to do everything in my power to change that. So it will be my home.
Yeah.
So Friend by Nature realized it's Friend by Nature, but you know, it's people. We realized that no matter what the source of what happened, that the result is, there is 60, 65, maybe 55 to 65 neighborhoods around Israel that the population there is, most of the population in these neighborhoods are Ethiopian Jewish. So, and that neighborhoods are, we call that, you know, the bad neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the one who don't go to university and the one who succeed want to go out from these neighborhoods and run away far, far away from, you know, Ethiopian community. And the thing is, this neighborhoods was bad before we came there.
Yeah.
Okay?
Of course.
I mean, so the thing is, these neighborhoods are continue to be the bad neighborhoods in the city. And what we said is, we can give programs forever, but the thing is, what happened in Ethiopian community in Afula, for example, affect me, and it's a fact. It affect me more than the non-people here in Gedera, because when something bad happening in community or in someone that Ethiopian. So I'm related to that, you know? Everybody is see that I'm related to that, even though I don't know the people.
Yeah.
Because I'm Ethiopian.
Of course, yeah. The same, I think this,
you know what I'm saying?
I think that's very much.
Adam?
Yes, can you hear me? Yuvi?
Ken.
Okay, yeah.
I can hear you.
I was saying, I think that that's very much an international thing. And that's an international struggle of being a minority in a country that's dominated by one specific group of people. So how, and this may be a very difficult question to answer, but how can the American Jewish community help?
How how it's helped in the past?
No, I mean, how can we help now? Because I think a lot of the American Jewish community sees these things going on, you know, it begs the question. So how can we help?
it's a big question. I think, I don't know, you know, I can tell you what we're doing in Friend by Nature and what our needs, and it will be, you know, part of the solution.
Yeah, please do.
And it's not going to be the solution because the solution should be like all over the country. But me as UV that live here, choose to live here in Gedera among a lot of Ethiopian community, and choose to be here and raise my kids here. And it's called the bad neighborhood. And even so, I choose that. The idea of doing that is we should not waiting for anyone to come and rescue us, okay? We need to do the action. So me and my friends moved to Gedera, lived in the neighborhood that there are the Ethiopian neighborhood, and we say that we are grow up here and know Hebrew, know the mentality, know what's the need of being successful in Israel, and and we want to go back in these neighborhoods and put our life in these neighborhoods. Okay, so when I go to school with my kid, so it's not only me, we are 16 families here as a community garin, we call that. So we want to make better the neighborhood. Lama? Okay. And the idea is, it's not that I'm coming to the neighborhood, giving 2 hours of volunteering and go back home, which is far away from the community. The thing is, I live here. So my need as a mother is to have a good school, right? Yeah. So I'm going to fight for that for my kids, okay? But it's going to be influencing others, okay? Because it my school, my kid's school, it's me and the other 16 families sending our kids, being part of what happening in the school in a PTS, and we move things to be changed. But it's not a program. It's our life. You know what's the difference? I'm fighting for my kids. Literally, I'm fighting for my kids. And if there is no playyard in my neighborhood, I'm going to do everything in my power, not only me, all my friends. I get a lot of friends with me in order to get that migrash mishakim for the kid. Okay? Yeah. In that way, it's not a program that you doing, and in 2 years, I'm moving to the next program. It's not that. It's our life. It's lifetime program. And our hope is the one who succeed will want to stay in the neighborhood, and because the neighborhood is really good for them. Okay? I'm not sacrifice anything. Okay, if I'm sacrifice anything, so it's not gonna last. But the thing is, we fighting together to make things better, and so there's a lot of things that we're doing. But the idea is to take responsibility and go back to these neighborhoods that I was raised there, and not, you know, run away from them when I graduate or doing well in my life. I'm going back to improve from inside. And I think, we able to do, like, to understand what our parents talking about in a mentality way, like the mentality of Ethiopian. And we know what's happening here in Israel. And we can be the bridge between the generations. So that's what we're doing, and developing local programs for our kids, but it's gonna be like for the whole neighborhood, okay? Am I clear?
Yes, very much
yeah,
so.
Yeah. Okay.
So is Friends by Nature primarily works in Gedera? or it works throughout the entire country?
No, it's, the thing is, it works on local leadership. So let's say three people getting together and said, we need to do something for our kids, for the community. So, and we continue to live where we live in, let's say, in Rishon LeZion. So we said, okay, you're going to be community garden, and together you're going to study things that happen in Ethiopia, in Israel, and the connection with between Ethiopia and Israel, and the cultures, and how is to be Israeli, Ethiopian Jewish, which is, it's not necessarily the same as here, you know. The Orthodox way of living here. It's not like that. It's different, but it's not mean that it's less or more. Okay, it's different. So, in Rishon LeZion, it's gonna be a community like that, and we're gonna work with them and help them to understand what they want to do with their community there. And after a while, there's gonna be a community in Yavne and so on. So for now, we have 8 locations all around Israel of groups of families. In each garin, there is 12 to 20 families. Some of them are mixed communities. Ethiopians and non-Ethiopians, and all of them want to live in the neighborhood and to want to improve what's happening in the neighborhoods.
Do you work closely or at all even with the government or the Ministry of Education or anything?
We do work with the government. We work with the community garinim. It's something that happened all over the country. It's something that, it's not only the Ethiopian community do that. I think it's started in the last 10 years with the Ethiopian community taking, responsibility and doing that. So, but in programs that we develop, we sometimes get support from the government through, let's say, Misrad HaKlita sometimes.
For non-Hebrew speakers, it's the Ministry of Absorption.
Exactly. So we develop the programs and we, we want them to support that things, and sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. But most of our income is from volunteering. Every Garin member volunteers 2 hours to 6 hours in a week. So it's a lot of people working, volunteering. And except that, there is more, another circle of volunteering from the city that not only Ethiopians or Garin members. So I think half of our income is manpower that volunteer.
So... in terms of how our community can help, volunteers, but also donations would be something.
So it's what we do is we live in the neighborhood. So in the neighborhood, there will be 60% are Ethiopians and 40% are not. Or, what percent is in Ethiopians and the other percent are not. We working with the whole neighborhood. Okay, we are not selecting the Ethiopians from non-Ethiopians. I mean, if they are in this neighborhood and 70% of them are Ethiopians, so we're going to be in this neighborhood and we work in this neighborhood, and everybody is can be part of our programs. So in terms of what we do as a programs, we do a lot of work with teenagers. Okay, so we work with you call that madrichim, madatim, like young madrichim.
Yeah, counselors for leaders. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. Exactly. So we train them to be counselors, and then they doing weekly activity with the young kids at the neighborhood, and taking them to hike. So it's like a year long activity. So in the summer they have a summer program, because in the summer two months it's a vacation, it's a break, and the summer camps here in Israel are very, very extremely expensive. Not as America, but really expensive. So if you don't have 3,000 shekels for a month, it's going to be hard for you to, you know, to take care of the kids. And some, most of the time you have more than one kids. So we train the young leaders for taking to be a madrichim, and for the whole summer they doing activities for the kids, take them to hike and at the neighborhood and so on. So it's something that you know, cost money for the bus, for the traveling, for training these kids. So it's be something that especially in this summer, that you know, you saw what you saw in the TV, and when the kids are bored, they're doing a lot of things. But yeah, it's absolutely easier to the police to find them and to say what are you doing here in this that hour. So in our communities, we're trying to build something that it's not only in the summer, but it's keep going over the summer, and these young leaders are actually working during the summer. All in, during the year, they are volunteer, and during the summer, they get paid as a counselor in every like in the matnas or whatever else.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's very important. So, last question: what do you expect to change in the next year or two? What do you expect, and what would you like to see?
Okay. I would like to see that the programs or the government will see the Ethiopian community as individuals, not as a group, and not, you know, not take giving the same solution for people that live here 30 years and someone that just came from Ethiopia, which is not equal, and it's not the same problems, and not it's not the same solution. And so you know, I hope that the it's not only the government, it's the Sochnut, it's the joint, it's the big organization that working with the Ethiopian community will be smarter and think deeper.
Yeah, definitely.
When, how, and what the solution, you know, what's the long-term solution that this community need, and not just for this year or that year, you know, to see what's really the problem and give the solution, even if the solution is making a lot of balagan in the organization, which could happen. That's for one. And second, I hope the young generation, my age generation, will take an action and be more involved, in process that happen in their lives. And I mean, be at school, taking tafkidim, like
roles
at school, at their kids' school, volunteering there, and be whatever we need to be, so the kids will see us there as volunteering, as leaders, and not only at home. I don't know if I'm saying that.
Yeah,
clearly,
absolutely. It sounds like those two things need to happen together.
Exactly. So it's both ways. And if that's both ways will be happen, I think we will have less problem. And, you know, the you know, the police will be afraid a little bit before they do whatever you're doing, because the parents taking action and the parents are involved with what happening in their kids' life and in the community life. Now, I mean, I want these parents, you know, to be involved not only in Ethiopian community life, you know, to be leaders for everyone. And I think we have the ability to do so.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Partners for Progressive Israel podcast. If you found this interesting, please feel free to subscribe by visiting www.progressiveisrael.org and clicking the PPI podcast section. Also, visit www.friendsbynature.org to learn more about how you could help the Ethiopian Israeli cause. Until next time, shalom.